Well, this morning we're going to do something really different, something I've never done before. And in my life I've had a lot of first times with God, but this is a first time with this one. With Ken and Diana coming into ministers, when Ken contacted me about coming, I was just really excited when I found out about, you know, they were coming in again. I've had this in my heart. I hadn't scheduled anything or anybody in, and I just said, you know, let it alone. And I've learned to listen to that. People, you know, I know ministers, and they've talked to me already and told me they get people scheduled out years in advance. I wish, you know, I don't ever have God talk to me out that far. He's just trying to get me to do what I'm supposed to do. He has his hands full with that. Maybe they're more genius than me. I don't know. But anyhow, when Ken had called me and I said about them coming in, and with Ken and them coming in, Ken and Diane have really been, there's been a connection with us spiritually. And a lot of it is because of the anointing. We're connected to the same anointing we got from Kenneth Hagin. And it's that there's a connection. And I find that God connects people and hooks them together, and there's a purpose in what he's doing. And they've really on my heart a lot. And I pray for them. And they were coming in, and I just was spending time with God. This has been a different year for me. They're stepping into things that in the past that I haven't walked in for a long time, and anointings are coming back of the past. And I know when anointings from the past start operating, we're going to be moving to the future, to new. And it's one of the things, as Ken and I were just talking about, he said about the songs, these older songs of the 70s, and going back and singing these things, is one of the things is Isaac went back and redug his father's wells. And one of the things is the church is why we don't have the move, and the church as a whole does not have a move of the Spirit, is because they've let the things of our forefathers sit in the dust, the anointings that God brought through revivals. We just think we're smart and we just know more, and we don't. We understand the anointings that they have. We're walking in the anointings today that our forefathers, there's anointings that forefathers of our faith have walked in and our generation knows nothing about. We have never experienced them. Kenneth Hagin told us in school, he said, there's things, anointings of God and the past that we walked in, and this generation doesn't even know them. You haven't experienced them. And back, I think it was in 1997, Kenneth Hagin spoke, it was in Nevada in a church in Las Vegas, and he said, if the church today doesn't get in and press in with God, he said, there's anointings that God wants to bring, but they will never experience them. And it takes some pressing in. That's why I believe the devil has moved people to busyness. He's moved us to busyness to keep us from pressing into those anointings. He doesn't want us to go there. Our society got busy and it's fallen apart. America's fallen apart in its busyness and doing things. And there's an eagerness. But anyhow, I'm praying for them. I got to praying about them coming in. I was praying for them. I was praying, you know, about Ken, God giving him a message. And the Lord said to me, he said, I didn't send them here to you for them to minister you. I sent them here for you to minister to them. And one of the things that I've seen, and the Lord talked to me about, because I've seen it over the years and talked to him about that, because many times I know as we say missionaries over, you know, seas from a missionary goes lots of times what they do when they come back to the States, they're running around trying to find a place to minister to get some money, which they need. They have to have. They need the support to go. And one of the things that I've always hated was this. Of any ministry that we ever support, I always told them, you don't have to come back to us and come to minister to us so you can get paid. We support you because it's what God told us to do. Your job isn't to come back. Because lots of times they're going and doing, and they don't ever get rest or don't ever get fed. And that's the church's fault. The church don't walk right concerning these things. We need to understand these things. You know, it's nice to hear what the missionaries and what they're doing, but, you know, they need rest too. And God wants to bless them. God wants them blessed, and that's what we're going to do today. They're going to rest. They're going to get offering. They're going to do. They're just. This is what we're here. We're here to bless them. They've labored, and the Lord has spoken to me concerning their labors and what they've done. As the Lord said, He is so pleased, and He's pleased with you guys on what you've done and what you've labored, and the love that you put into that labor, and what you accomplished and done. He just thoroughly appreciates it. He appreciates the foundation that you guys have laid in ministry. And he said to me, he said, that foundation is going to last in these last days. It's one of the things that he emphasized to me about this morning. He said that Estonia is going to have a national revival. He said it'll be, I remember with the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin and told him about, he said, America's having its last call, and some nations have had their last call, and they'll never get another one. Well, it won't be Estonia. Estonia is going to have a national revival. In the worldwide, there will be people of all nations who come to Christ, but in these last days, there will be national revivals in nations. There will be national revivals, and there will be a national revival. And one of the things the Lord said to me is a foundation that you laid, the foundation He called you to, has a lot to do with that national revival, because the people and what you have raised up there, and sometimes you may, He said this, sometimes you may think, people sort of some wandered off and things. And he said the foundation will stand and it will bring to pass what the foundation has been laid. It'll bring it to pass. So relax. Hallelujah. God is working and what God sees, you know, because I know as a minister, sometimes you think, well, Lord, has this been working? Because sometimes you get over and say, phew, have I just been blowing wind into the air? The big thing about it is if a minister follows the Lord and speaks what he said, the word of God stands. The word of God is a seed that's incorruptible. Hallelujah. And you've laid that foundation and that work there. And out of that foundation is going to come a lot of wonderful things. Hallelujah. And God really has a lot of plans for you folks. We'll talk about some of those things. Because there is change, and you guys know that there's change. One of the things that I found in ministry, many times when God's bringing change, He brings things in a step at a time, and He brings things in, but always you don't know what the end is. He'll show you something, and somehow you know, there's a lot more about this than what I know, but that's the part of walking by faith. And it's one of the things is all of us have to learn that. Most people, we live in a society today that is educational, and it's based on the wisdom of men. And there's nothing matter with us knowing stuff and being smart. There's nothing wrong with education. But our education can really hamper us. I know from going to countries that, you know, have a lot less education in the United States, but I found this as going to churches, they could flow with God better. Now, that isn't it. There's no reason it has to be that way. But people rely too much on their mentality. The church today relies too much on its knowledge of the Word. We're always trying to gain knowledge. No, give me more knowledge, give me more knowledge. Most people don't need any more knowledge in a church. They need to start walking at least on 10% of what they got. It's not gaining more understanding and not walking in what you have. And I found the simplicity of people. It's like when I was in Fiji, when I first went to Fiji, and then when I took Wanda over to Fiji, then I had been going over there and teaching in that Bible college and ministering in churches. And I would go to this one church, and they had this, you know, small building, and over there in the tropics, you just, you know, sides are open on buildings. You might have one side, you know, with the weather side comes in, and they'll have slanted boards to keep the weather out but let air through, and they'll do things. But you'd go into there, and they'd have somebody maybe playing a guitar or something, and those people would worship God. And I had never experienced anything like that. I have never been in anybody's ministry in America that had a worship service like they did. I mean, it was so powerful. The presence of God. My God, when those people worshiped, I felt like a slacker. I thought, my God, what have we been doing? They just love God. They'd get together and they would just sing, and they love the Lord. And I said to Wanda, I said, when you come over there, I said, I got to take you. You got to go to this church. I said, you got to experience this. You got to come. And you know what happened to that church? They built a big church. All these all these people from America and Australia and stuff come and started teaching them how they had to do things. You got to get the bands and you got to have the stuff. And they got the stuff and they built a bigger church. And you know what? They ain't got that worship anymore. They lost it. They lost that. But Wanda can tell you, when they were down there just singing, it's like, what a place to be. You thought you went to heaven for a while. Man, you just want to camp right there at that place. And we don't want to lose those things. God's moving, and there is a move of God, and we desire earnestly, I know I do, to move into it. And praying for these folks, there is a move of God that has started some time back, and there's things changing. But you're going to have to get over in the spirit lots of times to pick these things up. Most people pick things up when it comes into its full force. But many things can be picked up long out ahead of time. And what happens when it comes in and you pick up it in its force, you usually don't know how to operate and run in it right. And the thing is to do is learn about that move and start to see and pick it up. And there's a lot of things have been changing. And praying, you know, concerning their ministries, like I said, the Lord said to me is to minister to them. Because they're going through change, and they're going to go through a lot of changes. There's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of different ministry. I know Kenneth talked about, you know, they had looked about moving back here to the United States. I don't know what all the Lord has in that. He doesn't talk to me about that other than I just pray with God, you show them what you want them to do. But there's one thing is I do know this. You have a ministry to the world. It's a lot more than just. And, you know, you might sit and look and you might think you have a small voice, but God has a big voice. And you're his vessel. You're the ones he's called out. Don't be concerned about it. The doors are going to open. There's a lot about to change in the church world. There's going to be a great reversal. What has people have thought is going to be on has been on the top, and the people they thought are on the top are going to end up on the bottom. And the people on the bottom are going to end up on the top. Now, the Holy Ghost just said that. He hadn't talked to me about that before. He just said that. But this is what's coming. And this is why people need to prepare. You need, it's just as we in people in the congregation, we might take ourselves or whatever we are. What does God, you know, do you really know what God wants to use you for? Do you know how far God wants to take you? Have you ever sought God to really find out what he really wants to do? You may be absolutely shocked what his plans for you are. But see, the idea, we get in the thing, well, I'm not called to the ministry and I'm not called to this. There's one thing as I've learned in studying revivals. When major revivals ever came and moved, it was amazing how many lay people became ministers. It was amazing how the Spirit of God blew up. And see, we can sit sometimes and think, well, you know, I'm just this or I'm just that. Well, I want to find out God what he thinks I am, what he thinks, and get his mind about me, and then get myself to conform to his mind. Hallelujah. Start working on that. Well, we want to do that. We had, back in May, you folks were with us in May. In May, they stopped by. They weren't here at the church, but they stopped by. They were on their way out of the country, and they stopped and stayed overnight. And we got together in fellowship with them. And right before that time, I had been spending a lot of time in prayer. I was doing a lot of time. I would maybe sometimes 6-8 hours a day I would take out. I just really felt compelled to push into some things. And in doing that, one of the things that God really began to deal with me on is praying concerning the move of God in the earth. I had before, you know, I'd spend time praying concerning our government and different things and that. And the Lord really dealt with me about getting over. There needs to be a move of God. It's going to change. And he told me it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. And so I found in praying, though, getting over in that, that one of the biggest changes that needed to be made in my praying was me. is number one, if God can't change you, and that's a lot about. He had to change me a lot in the areas of my thinking and that stuff, but yielding to him. And I began to do that. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about was, and I've talked to you folks already, talking about the difference between, you know, there's a difference between ministering healing to people and people who have healing ministries. There's people who have healing ministries. They've been especially anointed by God in an area concerning healing. Now, most ministers, if they'll yield to it and are full of the Holy Ghost, God will use them in the areas of healing of some form or another. Of sometimes people have like certain things where some people, I've seen certain ministers who had really dealing with deaf and things and ear problems. They were great. They ministered in that area. Other ones, Kenneth Hagin said, and I saw it in his ministry. Kenneth Hagin said, God uses me mightily in the areas concerning cancer and especially tumors. Loads of time, Brother Hagin prayed for people and tumors would disappear. But he said, over on the other side of deaf people, he said, God didn't use me a lot in that area. Well, that's part of, you know, God, we have different people use different things. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about, he said to me back when I was praying about these things, and the Lord said to me, he said, I want to move you into a healing ministry. Well, I thought, well, that's good, but good luck. I mean, you have to work on this guy here. I'm just trying to get things figured out. But, you know, I began to pray in that area, and it's one of the things the Lord kept saying. Now, pray often and go about concerning the move of the Spirit in the last days. And I spent a lot of time praying concerning the body of Christ. The need for the body of Christ to have the power of God. That's the need. See, in these last days, and you guys have heard me talk about this, there is the need of the day is the reviving of the church. It's the reviving of the church. It's not winning the world. You can't win the world without the church. And no more than the church is revived will they reach to the world. You know, so many people are, you know, it's sort of like the thing with Billy Graham said. Billy Graham was asked by an individual, he says, you know, I don't know if I can give my life for Jesus Christ, if I could actually die for his name. And he said, well, if you don't live for him, you'll never have to die for him, so don't worry about it. And there's a lot to that in everything. As we get down, as we're going after something, we got to get over to where going to be hungry for it. We're going to go after it. This move of God. And God started dealing with me to push in this area. Push in concerning the gifts of the Spirit in the church. The reviving of the church. It's one of the things is we need God beginning to move on people again. And I see that today. I see God is. One of the things that I knew with myself when I first got born again was when God started dealing with me about changing my life, and he started talking to me about, really, from the standpoint, I was on my way to hell. One of the things that I found out was this. I became very uncomfortable, and I became more miserable than I was. And I was pretty miserable as it was to begin with. And lots of times today, we need to be very careful as Christians. Most Christians, they look at people and they think, well, they're just further out in left field than what they were. They may not be. God may be dealing with them. You need to be very careful around people and judging in what you ain't got a clue about. That's why you don't judge by what you see. You don't know what's going on in the heart of an individual. I'll tell you what, I spent some miserable months. It just was hard because God was dealing with me. And so, I'm sure it was, those times were hard for Wanda too, because it was hard enough as it was putting up with me. And you get more miserable. And God was dealing with me. And so as we go over and push in these areas, I'm going to talk about something this morning that I'm not, I talked to you guys a little bit about, the Lord, you know, wanted me to a little, and I just talked about it, but there was a thing that did happen publicly, and I want to talk about this because it has to do with the move of God, of what God's doing now. And because there's things that, as I began to push in prayer, I found that there were certain things that were on God's heart. Is there was, if you remember, that I put out a vision of 1963. I'd printed and put back there at Kenneth Hagin about that vision, and it was he was called up to heaven, and you know, I'm sure today it's for a lot of people that would not be a popular vision to see that. But because of moving over the area, and I began to pray, when I pray and I'm praying about things, one of the things that I do, and I found, especially in the area of great success of moving over into the Spirit, you find out what God's been saying. And then you take what God's been saying and you take it to God in prayer about it. Most people see a problem and what they do is they go to God with the problem. They never go to God with what He said. And they call it faith and there's no faith in their prayers at all. They're just, you know, anybody can complain. Look, I've done it and so have you. And as I found this out, and what I do is I have prophecies that I have printed out. And I have different things and I have different scripture that I know things have been said in scripture. And I take those and I take them out. And when I go to God in prayer and I go time and time again and I'll say, Lord, this is what you said. And I read it to him. Sometimes I get the whole prophecy out and read him the whole prophecy. I say, Lord, this is what you said. Here's what you're talking. This is what you're saying. And you said this was going to take place. You said that. And I just take, you can't lie. You can't. You said that would take place. And I talked to him about what he, and I said, we're going to have that, Lord. You said it was. You can't lie. This is what we're going to have. And I start talking to him about what we're going to have. Lord, this is what you're going to do. You know, through Kenneth Hagin, the prophet, he said through him, Brother Hagin said that concerning gifts and manifestations of the Spirit in these last day revival, it's going to be 100-fold greater than it ever was before. 100 times greater. And I tell it, God, this is the move of God today. You're going to do this 100 times greater. You said in your word, your words. Did your prophet lie? I go to the scripture. I go in the Bible. Lord, this is what you said. And keep taking it to him. And day after day after day, I take those things. I spend a lot of times praying in tongues. I pray about those things. But I take them to the Lord all the time. This is what you say. This is the future. This is my future. This is the future of the church, Lord. This is what we're going to have. This is this great revival. You said we're going to have it. I ain't letting alone. If you come and tell me today you ain't going to do it, I ain't going to pray to you again. I wouldn't pray to you again. There'd be no point to it. What's the point? But His word is good. And we can stand on His word. And He gets excited when you do that. He gets excited. God is waiting for somebody in the earth saying, yes, I want your word to take place in the earth. Many people want God's word to take place in the earth if they don't have to go about it to do anything about it. But we have to. And I go back, and this is what I was doing. Is number one is in that area. But when we got that prophecy, and in that prophecy, Kenneth Hagin, and I have it here. Kenneth Hagin, in that vision, Jesus said something to him. And man, I took this thing. I took this thing. He talked about communism. And you know, just let me say this about, you know, we have today what people call socialism. I just want to give you some definition, and you'll find out this. We don't have socialism trying to take over America. It's communism. It's the biggest lie we have today is they call this socialism. They're trying to give a fluff word to something it's not. Now, communism is this, is by definition, just a small definition. It says it's a political theory derived from Karl Marx, advocating class war. Did you ever hear that term used here in America, class war? Don't we have that going on? Constantly trying to divide the classes, saying racism when it don't exist. Everything. The people are doing this. Everything comes along. If you disagree with somebody, you're a racist because you disagree. Everything is to keep hatred moving. It says, and leading to a society in which all property is publicly owned and each person works and is paid according to their abilities and needs. Now, that's what it is today. We're going to take everything you got. We're going to distribute because you don't need that. You don't need what you earned. Somebody else does. Somebody else. And you'll find this out. It's always the leaders who need everything. They end up getting it all. We see that in America today. Our politicians, you go down to Washington. They go in there. They don't have much money. When they leave, they're multi-millionaires. Why? Because they're playing this game. That's what they do. This is the stuff that they're after. Now listen to this. How does communism differ from socialism? Communism is a system of social organization in which all economic and social activity is controlled by a totalitarian state dominated by a single and self-perpetuating political party. The main difference is that socialism mainly relates to the economic system, whereas communism relates to the political system. What are we promoting in America today? Are we promoting the economic system? No. The socialists tear it down. The political system dominate. It is called communism. And in this prophecy, we find that God told 1963, spoke to the future. And he said we'd have, you know, people in government, big names in government who would be following after. Don't we have that? We have loads of big name people. We have, if you look, you take the, lots of times, some of the most wealthy people in the United States and America, they're in this socialist move. They're into this thing. Now, see, they know this. They'll be leaders at the top and they'll be the takers. They know that. You know? I mean, Bill Gates wouldn't be running with the socialists if he thought somebody was going to take his money. Don't worry, they won't be taking none of theirs. No, it's about taking yours. That's what they always do. The people always suffer. That's what the people end up with less. And that's the way it goes. But God had something to say. It's number one, looking, God gave Kenneth Hagin a vision of the physical realm of what's taking place. But I want you to see this. What he said to Brother Hagin, because Brother Hagin said, I said to the Lord, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness, that blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, Son of man, forget not your text, for you're looking at the things not seen. This is the title of his text or message was looking at, he had been preaching at that place where it happened, looking at things unseen. And he said, so then, he said, I looked into the realm, the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. In other words, looking into the spirit realm. See, God showed him what was going on in the natural, but what did God want him to focus on? What was going on in government and the natural? It's not what God wanted him to look at. That's not what God wanted him to look at. Because see, he said, man, ain't we got no hope? Why? Hope ain't found in the natural. Hope ain't found among men. It's found in God. Hallelujah. And he told him, he said, look over here. Look, he said, this fire, he says, the closer to earth this thing got, he said, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And he said, and I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire. And there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. He said, when I first saw it, it seemed like their whole heads were on fire, but it was a tongue of fire leaping up. And I said, what meaneth this? And it says, and he said, before the worst shall come. Now, I want you to understand this, the Lord spoke to him in 1950, in September 1950, and told him before the worst comes, the church is going to get taken. He said to him, Jesus told him, Brother Hagin, that the church will be taken before the worst comes. We need to understand this and get a hold of this fact. We had back in the 90s and that stuff, and today it's starting to come back again, is the kingdom now people are starting to open their mouth. And the kingdom now is we're going to take over everything, and we're going to, when Jesus comes back, we're just going to hand everything. In other words, God's going to use us. Everything's going to turn out wonderful here on earth. No, it's not. It's not. Now, you can live in fear of that, or you can go over and look in the spirit and hook up and bring some of those things of the spirit into the natural. You cannot bring anything into the natural you can't see in the spirit. That's how we do it. That's what faith is about. Faith is about the unseen. We see things of God in the spirit. We get it into our hearts and we believe it and begin to say those things and bring those things into manifestation. Divine healing is from one spirit. It's not from a doctor. You can't get divine healing from a doctor. It never happened. Divine healing comes from your spirit. If you don't get divine healing in your spirit, you can't get it in your body. Because that's where it comes from. It comes from the inner man. It don't come from the outer man. It don't come from the outside. That's where divine healing comes from. Now, God ain't against doctors. He told Kenneth Hagin. He said, if my people, they go to a doctor. He said, I want to bless them. He said, they should, you pray for them that they'll have a quick recovery. And so we need to understand these kind of things. Another, and here he's telling you, get over and look in the spirit realm. You get over and see what's happening in the spirit. See what's going on over there. Why? Because if you want to bring anything into this earth of the spirit, it must be brought in through the human spirit into the earth. The human spirit's what brings it in. God don't bring it in himself. He can't just override things. He can't just throw any. If he did, he ought to take over and do something. He's been messing around, sleeping. Somebody will wake him up. He ain't been sleeping. The church has been doing all the sleeping. We haven't been awake. We're waiting for God to do something, and he's been waiting on us. Glory to God. I've had to repent of that a lot. Forgive me, Lord. Hallelujah. Before the worst comes, he said, and the day of darkness encompassed, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually. The work must first be done spiritually. See, and you need to understand that. If you don't get the work done spiritually, things in the natural don't change. You got to first do it spiritually. The church keeps looking at physical problems and praying, trying to change physical problems through the physical. The answer is in the spirit. And you get over in the spirit, and there's a lot of things you're going to come and think was the problem, wasn't a problem at all. There was other things behind this. There's other things going on. But you can only find that in the spirit. You will never know the motives of people unless you know their heart. Not just seeing what they do. Knowing their heart. God is the one. You don't get over the spirit realm. Lots of times you don't even see or know what's going on. That's why many times people say, I don't understand, my prayers don't get answered. It's because you're praying the wrong thing. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. I'm over here praying and never asked God about it. Finally, one day, out of desperation, I asked God what's going on, and he tells me. And then I pray what he showed me, and it gets fixed. Well, I walked around for a year putting up with something I wouldn't have to put up with out of my own stupidity. Because you know what? I'm just so bright. I know the Bible, and I can quote scriptures. We have a Christianity without God, saying we love him and everything else. The genius lives in us. We don't ask him. I'd be guilty as charged. I didn't even throw rocks at nobody else. I'm guilty as charged. You know? It's the way it is. But there's this move of God. There's one thing that really carried on is dealing with this. I've always been a stickler of the truth. I'm a stickler for the truth. I want to know the truth. To me, the word of God's the truth. Anybody says anything else, it's just wind blowing. Is the word is true, because you can always stand on the word. The word's always right. But there's something that's been lost in the church, and God keeps showing me. There's no fire. Truth ain't enough. There must be fire. Truth is not enough. There must be fire. Truth is never enough. There must be fire. Many people know the truth, have no fire. And there must be fire. And God began to press on me concerning this about the fire and praying for the fire. John G. Lake said this. He was concerned in his day. I am more concerned than John G. Lake. Because just think of John G. Lake's day. John G. Lake said, it bothers me, he said, that we have people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and they speak with other tongues, but they have no fire. They have no fire. He said, this bothers me. I'm not sure about this. And I said, John, you'd really be disturbed today because there's no fire. And the Lord started dealing with me. You pray for fire. There needs to be the fire needs to be brought back. We need fire. This stuff cannot just be carried on by ministers. People. The church needs to start praying. The body of Christ needs to start praying for these things, for the fire to come. They need more fire. To fulfill God's plans and purposes, they're going to need a lot of fire. what God wants to do. Look, today, you know, we're just tickled if somebody gets, you know, healed of a headache. We think it's, wow, gee, God did something. We're just thrilled if anything showed up at all. But we don't see the fire, and we seem to be able to generally in the church, it don't bother people that we don't see fire. I'm totally annoyed. I am really annoyed. And so when I got this prophecy, I began to pray about this thing with this fire. And like I said, I'd been praying back in May, and back in and up to May when these folks came and visited with us, and I'd just been sort of really annoyed about these things. But there's a change coming. One of the things that the Lord told me to talk about today is I'm really cautious in these areas because of this, for this reason. People, when God reveals himself to somebody and tells them something, and sometimes, you know, when you go especially to do what God called you to do and you start to do it, we have this idea in the church, and it's just like in these last days, we think that if the move of God comes, that everybody's going to get excited, that everybody's going to be really glad it showed up, and that is not true. You're going to be shocked how many people will leave the full gospel move and the spirit-filled move if God really gets moving. You'll be shocked. You'll sit around and say, I don't understand, but I know fully. I know why. There's a lot of people have developed a God in their image that they're comfortable with. And if he operates outside of their comfort zone, it doesn't. Let me just share you something that Jesus said. To me, he's an authority on things, and if he said it, it's so. Jesus made a statement about things. In Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke recorded this concerning Jesus. Starting at verse 49, he said this, I came to send fire on the earth. What did I do? I came to send fire on the earth. Jesus said, that's what I came to do. And really, he did. The power of God, demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. He came to bring. But understand, he's not talking just about his ministry. He's going to talk about, listen to what he says, and how I wish it were already kindled. He's walking around his ministry. In other words, the real fire hasn't even got kindled. Why? Because the real fire is going to come in the church. The church age starts. That's the fire. That's where the fire is really supposed to blaze. Now listen, he said, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Now, in other words, he's saying, what was his baptism? His baptism was into death. He said, in other words, this fire that is supposed to be kindled in the earth ain't going to happen till after this. I got to go through this. Because after his death, burial, and resurrection, praise God, he said was the whole point to kindle fire. Now let's read on what he said this fire is going to do. We're just going to be big excited. This is just wonderful. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not all, not at all, but rather division. This is why a lot of people and a lot of people in the church, a lot of Christians don't like the move of God. Because fire brings division, and everybody today is trying to bring unity, and God's trying to divide. He's trying to set apart who's his and who's not. And everybody's working and compromising the word of God for their own pleasure and safe feelings and their own comforts. And then calling it the love of God when it's hatred and evil. It's demonic. Good preaching it. He said, for from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Does it sound like really excitement? Are you really fired up now? But you need to understand it. See, he's talking about what naturally you will see. But what are we supposed to do? People of faith are looking at the unseen realm. You can always tell people are trying to compromise their faith. They're fleshly. They're not spiritual people. They're always looking to all this other stuff. They don't want to divide. They want the sinners and the saints mixed all together in a nice pot. They want this nice religion that accepts everything. That's what they want. That's what they want. So you have to decide, you know, do you really want to pray for this fire? Do you really want this fire? See, we see fire, you know. John the Baptist said Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, people get baptized in the Holy Ghost and no fire. John the Baptist said there's supposed to be Holy Ghost and fire. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I had fire. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Manifestations, the gifts of Spirit started operating through me. Right after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, things started happening. Words of wisdom and knowledge started operating through me. Stuff started going on. Stuff, fire came. Well, see, it's because I had a teacher who taught this is what's in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Most people think it's just tongues. They just want tongues. That's just give me tongues and I think I got something. The holy baptism of the Holy Ghost is about being a witness for Jesus, and it's a witness through demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ is alive. Without it, you have no proof of Spirit-filled whatsoever. It ain't talking in tongues. Dear Lord, thank God for tongues. I pray in tongues more than you all. But if no demonstration comes out of it, nothing comes from it, who cares? We got it. It's got to produce. Anything that's spiritual from God will produce something. It will. There's no such thing as something that don't produce. Something must produce. And we need fire. We need fire in the church, definitely. We need fire. Ministers and ministries need fire. We need the fire brought back to us. And it's not up to the ministers to be the ones just pulling on this thing. The church is an entertainment center today. It's a place where people go sit down to just go get, give me something, and then I go home. And minister, you go and you get with God and you talk to heaven, and then you come back and dump it on me. God calls that being a vampire. That's what he told me. The people that just want to suck the life out of you, but they don't want to go after it themselves. He said they're vampires. The church world today is full of vampires. I call it the vampire church. It's full of bloodsuckers. Running around. Don't for themselves go after it. Never learn to feed themselves. They're always around. Somebody else always got to pat them and pet them. Somebody else always got to take care of everything. Somebody else has got to do it. Well, they don't seek, they don't find. But something comes along in life, wave the wand over me. It doesn't work that way. He said, seek and you'll find. He didn't say, ministers, you seek and you'll find. Jesus said, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. Everyone who asks receives. If I'm not receiving anything, I've got to stop. If I've been even asking the face, did I really expect to get anything? Am I just going through the motions of religion? Do I just do my daily reading of the Bible, or do I ever meditate on the Word? Or I just, you know, read my nice little scriptures, makes me feel good. I run out the door, did my 5 minutes of prayer today, and woohoo, is God excited. Oh, my words. I've been heavens up there dancing and shouting. My God. I know, I'm the only one that ever did that. You guys are holy, I know. You. I see the halos, you know. I know. I know about repentance. I've done a lot of it. Hallelujah, but God is forgiving. He's wonderful. But we need this fire and bringing this fire. If we look at the things, I mean, the day of Pentecost, what was the representation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Was it tongues? It was fire. Fire. The first manifestation was fire. It wasn't tongues. The first manifestation was fire. Oh, Lord, burn me up. Hallelujah. I want my hands full of fire. I want my head full of fire. Do you notice something about the head being having fire? You got to get fire in your head. You got to get fire in your head. You got to get fire thinking in your mind. Get your mind set on fire thinking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've known people in my lifetime who have been anointed by God, and that anointing, I know people who were anointed to heal. I had a pastor one time, and he would get the anointing one, and he told me, he said he would feel the power of God. It would be in his hands. And I'd say, well, why didn't you lay hands on people? Well, I don't know, and I just, you know, like to do, you know, blah, blah. The anointing's there, but he ain't flowing with it. See, why? And I can tell you why. He was wrong-headed. He had no fire in his head. God put it in his hands, but if you don't get your head on fire, you think wrong. You got to think like fire. You got to get the will and knowledge of God in you. So when things manifest, you're thinking right. Hallelujah. Get over where you're thinking some fire. Glory to God. The fire set on their head. Dear Lord, my head needs something. I don't know about yours. Dear God, I'd hate to think it's going to stay the rest of my life like this. I want some change. Hallelujah. Thank God for all the renewing of the mind He's given me. But it ain't done. I sure hope not. I sure hope there's more than this. Hallelujah. Because we need to think the thoughts of God. It's not enough to get them in your heart. If you can't get it into your head, your flesh will dominate you a lot. Get the fire in your head, and I'll tell you what, the fire's in your hands will do some stuff. Hallelujah. You won't let your flesh dominate you. You won't let your flesh rule. And that's what we wanted. We want the flesh to rule. Hallelujah. We all know about flesh ruling. We've all had that, haven't we? We've all let our flesh rule at one time or another. Hallelujah. I'm going to share with you something concerning this thing, is this experience. And as like I said, I've been hesitant to really talk about it because I know over time, I remember when Brother Hagin was caught up to heaven and the Lord laid his hands on his hands and gave him a healing anointing. And again, you'd think everybody would be excited about that. And he gave him a healing anointing, and he sent him back to the earth, and he told him, but he said before he left, he said, look, he said, you tell people that you saw me, you were in heaven and saw me, and that I touched your hands with the finger from my hand. I touched it and gave you a healing anointing and told you to go lay hands on people, and you tell them, if they believe that you saw me, and they will believe that, and they'll believe that I touched my hand and your hand, and you got this power. He said, if they'll believe that, they'll be healed. Now, you think people would be excited. You get among spirit-filled people, you know what they weren't? In fact, they gave him such a hard time. Jesus had to call him back to heaven on another occasion and chewed him out for not going with the anointing. And he said, Lord, please give this gift to somebody else. Give it to somebody else. And the Lord said to him, who called you? He said, when I looked at him, he had fire coming out of his eyes. He didn't have the lamb when he wasn't barefoot. Nope, he had fire coming out of his eyes. And he said, who called you? He said, you did, Lord. And he said, I guess I better go do what you told me. But, now we all think that's neat. But see, he was persecuted greatly because here's the people. Who is he? Think he got caught up to heaven. He saw Jesus. He did this. Most Christians are carnal. I mean, you tell them things. Now, you tell people stuff. And it's like today. If I know this. If I got up to heaven and Jesus did that and I said it, I'll guarantee you, I make it public. I will guarantee you online, I will see ridicule, because if they see this sermon online, they will ridicule me. They'll line up to ridicule you. Spirit-filled people will line up to ridicule you. Who does he think he is? He saw Jesus. How are we supposed to believe that? You know? But Brother Hagin said this. Anybody that did believe him, they got healed. If they believe it, they got healed. It didn't matter that people get healed. People get set in their mind things. They'd sit in a service. Some people get healed. The other ones that didn't, wouldn't believe it. They're mad. You know, it's wrong. People are getting healed. I've seen that all my Christian life. I've watched those kind of things. So don't think ministry is easy for folks. Don't think it's easy for them. It's not. Because you come and bring truth, and you come and God speaks through you, and you stand up to say it. It's amazing How many people don't give a rip at all about it? They have already have their preconceived ideas, their pre-thoughts about things, and they have those things, and they're not listening at all. But you know what God does to us ministers? We still got to preach it and say it. And he'll make you preach the same sermon three times. Just say, Lord, I got stoned twice already. Do we have to do the third one? But it's what we're called to do. Don't feel sorry for me. Hallelujah. Don't. I'm not doing it. It's not what it was about. But just understand, this is one of the things we want to pray for people. Because people in ministry are putting up with a lot of things. We think the more the glory shows up, the more excited everybody is going to be. Believe me, this last day move of God, there is going to be a lot of people getting excited. But we're going to see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Kenneth Hagin. And the Lord spoke to me about this. We're going to see the prophecy fulfilled that Kenneth Hagin said. He said that concerning the body of Christ, dealing with the body, he said, and I remember the first time I heard him prophesy this. It was a camp meeting. And I can remember where I was sitting and everything, and Brother Hagin spoke, and he said, great persecution's going to come in this last day move of God. Great persecution. He said, it's not going to come from without. It's going to come from within the body of Christ. The great persecution. The great persecutors of the church, of our church, has always been the religious people of the church. It's always been. Who did Jesus get persecuted from? The word people of the day. The Pharisees were the word people of the day. They were the sticklers for the word. And it's crucify him. But there's one thing that you need to do is walk in love. No matter what they do or what they say. You can't get in the battles. You don't say things back. Somebody writes something to me in line or something or says something and it's right. I don't fight with them about it. Let them alone. They're in more trouble than a little bit. I don't have to get in it with them and get in trouble with them. Let it alone. You just keep following the plan of God. You just keep walking in the plan of God. Hallelujah. God has mighty things and that is planned for us. Now, I want to share about this. I've been circling around it, but the Lord told me to explain some of these. When I got over praying about these things and praying about this fire, God began to speak to me a lot about numbers of different things. And as I prayed, there were certain things that were revealed to me. And especially, I felt compelled. And it's one of the things you'll find out. As Kenneth Hagin used to make this saying, and I really believe he's right. He says, many times we're unconsciously led by the Spirit. We don't realize at the time. But when you go on, I look back and think, you know, God was working and he got this thing going. It wasn't me all of a sudden decided to do this. And I look back and I thought, God got me on this fire thing. And I said, if he got me on this fire thing, then I need to push on that fire thing because he took me over to this. And the fire is just really the power of God, demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. God disconnected me from people because of their moves away from things of the Spirit. There was a ministerial group that, who was involved in Raymond. He's an REMI. He was one of their directors. And he had a ministerial group also that he had started before REMI really got going on. But he had a ministerial group. I belonged to it. And the Lord had me years ago move out away from it because I saw they started moving away from the things of the Spirit. And the Lord told me because I had been praying about things of the Spirit. I wanted to move the Spirit. This goes back numbers of years ago. And I'm praying. I've been praying for a lot of years for a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. To me, people get satisfied, and unless we have more than the book of Acts, I ain't happy. I just, I ain't going to be happy about this. It's got to be more than that. If it ain't more than that, forget it. That's the biggest it gets, because the Bible talks about bigger. So, hallelujah. But anyhow, the Lord said to me, he said, you can't stay with them. Because he said, you won't arrive to where you want to be. And I was, well, what's this about? He said, you're talking about a move of the Spirit. That's not where they're going. And surely, as I've looked over time, they have surely moved away from it. And they've become the seeker friendly. They didn't call it that back then, but that was the road they were heading to many years ago. They were heading to that. How we can make people feel comfortable in church. When I remember going to their church, the only comfort was the Holy Ghost. It wasn't about going to, if you were sinners, if sinners can come to church and feel comfortable, you're probably going to go to hell with them. It isn't about, I want this church to be, this is the place where God is comfortable. And if I'm uncomfortable, then it needs to change. I've had to do that quite a few times. We were singing about holiness today. We were singing about holiness. And I've talked before about the experience I had when Jesus came into my car in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And that holiness, I thought it would like to kill me. The holiness, there was a purity that was just, never experienced anything like in my life. All I wanted to do was get out of that car. I couldn't stand it in it. It's purity. And I've always thought about it after that is holiness isn't a word. In the spirit, it's tangible. Holiness is tangible. Oh, it's phenomenal. It's what He is. You can't get in His presence without I either change or die here. If you really get, and I did. I wanted to jump out of the car. It was so powerful. And so, and I thought, I can't stand it. I was afraid I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. See, Jesus never comes to Ed Gibson carrying the lamb and barefoot. He always shows up different. He never shows up that way. I wonder why. What have I done? Hallelujah. But you know what? I've always been a seeker of power. If all you want is a lamb, you can have it. But I want the lion of the tribe of Judah. I want the lion. I want the lion. I want the fire. That's what I've always sought after. That's what I've always wanted. Well, we came up in August here. In August, I had a real sense of we were going down to Randall Greer's meetings down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee that week. And I, you know, with myself, I had a real sense there was an importance for me at those meetings, which we attend them every year, which they're always very good, and there's just been a lot of wonderful things. I mean, there's things in those meetings in between down in Gatlinburg in March and in August where has totally changed my life. With Randall Greer laid hands on me and anointings came on me that just changed things. You're working through things. And this is one of the things that you need to understand. There's things that that you'll never change just listening to the Bible. Lots of times anointings are imparted by people. This is why the church world today, people are trying to live off of, I'm saved and I'm pretty good. I watch some guys on TV. I go to church some. I do this and blah, 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 blah. But it don't amount to nothing. There's things that you got to get into the presence of people who are anointed. You've got to get into the presence. And that anointing that they have will change you. You will never see as much manifestation of healing concerning gifts of the Spirit as on TV as you would at meetings. You watch meetings on TV that might have it, but it happens in the presence because God anoints people and transmits it. The church can never get away from showing up. It will never happen. It will never happen. You'll just have less of a move of God if you let it happen. You got to get into presence. Thank God, you know, I thank God for all the tapes and everything. But I'll tell you what, anointings have come to me through showing up. And so I really had a sense that I needed to be at those meetings. I didn't know, God didn't speak to me what it was about. But you know, you walk by faith. I know I need to be there. That should be enough. You know, when I was a younger Christian, you know, I'd always, you know, wanted God to explain everything. but he wouldn't do that. But anyhow, on the Wednesday evening, there was a Wednesday evening service. It was August 14th. It was a Wednesday evening. And at the end of the service, it was really, Randy was operating under a very different anointing than I'd seen him before. And the Lord had rebuked him about not yielding over to certain things. And I really understood what it was is concerning the prophet's ministry. Because what happens is you get over into flowing in certain areas and you do certain things, you're going to get ridicule. And when you start over there to that, And I don't know about you. I struggle with things like that. Sometimes I'm just glad God ain't going to tell me what I'm going to preach. Don't tell me when I... Because I'll say it and then I'll quick go home. Let me... You ever been there? They've been there. They got experience. And you just... And it's like, you know, you just want to do something. Well, he was talking about that. And he said... He talked about some things. He said, then I'm going to obey God. So he said, God wants to do some things tonight. And he said... Especially, he said, in the people in the groups there, he said, the ones of you, you're in a full-time ministry. I want you to come up. So we went up. And the reason I'm talking about this, I've sort of shied away from these things because you get over and you don't want people to take things wrong. You don't want, but he spoke over me and it was publicly said some things. And one of the things that it was, and I knew what it was about when he spoke to me about this. And these are the words, just a few words, but he said something. He said this, he said, a hunger and a desire was in your heart. And you said, Lord, I want to make a brand new start. The Lord has heard your prayer and you shall within 14 days from this day, 14 days from this day, that you will walk in everything you have prayed. You will begin to enter in, not fully, but begin to enter in, not fully. But begin to enter in 14 days from this day. Now, I know from Randy, he don't go around and just say stuff like that. You know, when you put a number of days on something. And I knew that when God was saying, I knew God was talking to me. I had been pushing on things in prayer. Now, let me just say this. See, when you say, oh, what I prayed, this is about me. I hadn't been praying about me. I'd been praying about the move of the Spirit, the fire of God. What just about? He said, the things I prayed, I'm going to enter into the things that I prayed. I'm going to enter into the things that I prayed. In other words, this fire thing, it's not just for Ed. This fire thing can be entered in. This fire thing can be entered into now. Hallelujah. This fire thing, when he said that, I knew what he was saying. But anyhow, you know, so the 14th day was Wednesday, August 28th. And so during that time, one of the things the Lord spoke to me that night after those things were spoken, he told me, he said, you get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Which I knew what it meant. It was the fact of stay over in the areas of prayer. Stay over in those areas and that stuff. Keep yourself keen on the inside. Listen on the inside what's going on. See, now what most people think, well, it's just going to be this big manifestation of something. I found out over the years. Most of the times I received an anointing from God, I felt nothing. But it started manifesting as I went on to minister and do things. Most people want a feeling. God has never dealt with me in that way. You know, I hear people not like, I was a rank sinner when I got saved. Now, usually people say, oh, you felt like a big weight was raised off of you. The night I got saved, I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel nothing. I just knew in my heart it did the right thing. That was my satisfaction was, I did the right thing. And I watched the people with the big weights taken off of them and didn't follow God. And I've followed God ever since. I learned from the beginning, you don't follow feelings. You don't follow, if you have one, great. You know, I like the anointing when it's on me. I like it. It's good. It's good on me. But I'll tell you what, I've brought things to pass with no anointing on me. All the Word of God will do it. I mean, you can stand on the Word. It produces the same. It's nice to have the anointing. It's nice to have that feel. But that isn't that's not the driving force. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can't walk in the not seen, you can't walk with faith. If you have to go to the feeling realm, the seeing realm, the hearing, that's where you have to do to get your emotion and get geared in. You're always going to be on the outs of this thing. It's by faith. Well, so I just did what the Lord said. I spent time in prayer. I kept myself over. I didn't spend huge amounts of time, but I would spend time over to keep myself. What I did was I learned, and I've said to you folks about this, and please learn to do this. The Lord told me to bring this out is to learn to do this. It has been really helpful to me over the years. Is when I listened to Dr. Cho, and Dr. Cho said about always praying, he said, you can't walk around praying all the time. He said, that ain't what it's... He said, We need to, because there's a lot of things concerning prayer in the Bible. There's a lot of things, you know, worship God is called, is in the class of prayer and all this thing. But Cho said, I always keep my heart turned toward God. He said, whether I'm in a meeting, he said, with world leaders, my heart is always turned toward God of whatever he wants to say or do. And when he said that, that really went off inside of me. And I've learned is yielding yourself where you're always pay attention on the inside. What's God saying? What's God doing? And see, you'll find it'll be very helpful. Lots of times, you know, I just, if I keep myself over in the area, if you do that, you can learn to train yourself where you don't have to spend so much time in prayer to be conscious concerning your spirit. You learn to do that all the time. Don't let yourself get darkened or turned away from what's on the inside. Keep yourself over in that area where I'm always listening on the inside. Or before I just make a decision, I could stop and I look. Is my heart comfortable about this? You know, there's something I thought about doing and the finances involved. I'm thinking, boy, it'd be a good deal, be a good thing to do. But you know what? I haven't got comfort yet on the inside. You stay tuned over there and say, you know, it's really nice. It's really good. And you know what? I feel that I could go do it, but and you know, I said, I ain't doing it until I'm comfortable on the inside. When the inner man's comfortable, then we'll walk there. Let's go to that place then. See, people bypass. Keep yourself over on the inside till you got, till you know. And it's learn and train you. I thought, boy, Joe was a smart man. He learned and he pretty well perfected that. He got good at it. Is we want to do that. Is get over because I want to, my greatest need is to stay conscious of the spirit in me. It's my greatest need. I don't know what you think yours is, but that's mine. My greatest need is to be conscious of the spirit. Remember, it's God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. You want to stay conscious. So that's what I did. I just stayed conscious in that area. Well, it was on a Monday night. It was about 11:30. I went to bed, and I just say 11:30 because it was probably a little after 11:30. But my habit is this: is I go to bed and then I pray till I fall asleep. I just pray till I fall asleep. And I found this out: the more I pray, I don't fall asleep as quick as I used to, because my spirit gets more active and keeps me awake. You know, this morning my spirit woke me up at 4:00. You know, I went to bed at 11. I spent time praying. And I thought, well, I'll get a few hours sleep here. And that's what God said. You got a few hours sleep. Yep, that was good. And so I prayed till 5:30 and got out of bed and did some things and gotten ready and spent more time just praying and things. Just do this stuff. It's what we do. And so the Spirit of the Lord woke me that night. I was praying, and all of a sudden, inside of me, these words just rose up. And the Lord said, there's an anointing that will come on you that will be like fire. He said, just like a volcano pours out the lava that burns up everything in its past, this anointing will burn up sickness and disease in the human body and drive out demons. He continued on that and saying, he said, this anointing will be transferable to those he finds worthy. Now we need to understand that really is the worthy ones are the faithful ones. Well, he said that night. So on Wednesday, you know, it's like you could get in the natural and thinking, boy, all of a sudden I'm just going to feel this fire come on me and you know. Well, it didn't. What came along is I'd gotten up that morning and I felt no urgency to all of a sudden, you know, I just need to pray night and day all day this day. I thought God said he was going to do something. Well, I want to be conscious when he's doing it. Whatever it is. So I'd spent some time in prayer in the morning, but then I had things to do and I was doing different things. And in the afternoon then, probably about 11:30 or so, I was over praying and it was like 12:30. And I finally just stopped and said to the Lord, because I hadn't talked directly to him about it. I said, Lord, the prophet said, and I said, I knew when he said that he wasn't lying. And I said, you spoke to me the other night about this. So I said, you said this. Well, when I did that, all of a sudden, the spirit of prophecy, a very strong spirit of prophecy dropped on me. And really, basically, the Lord said the same thing all over again through the spirit of prophecy. But he said, this anointing is on. You've stepped into this thing. He said, the night, he said, yes, what you're going to do. He said, you've stepped into it. Well, now, when that strong anointing was on me, you felt something. But when that anointing lift, it was Ed standing there. But the Lord said this, but the Lord spoke. But one of the things of it is we want to see, people get over and get in their minds about these things. These are things you enter into. Now, I had this idea, you know, you get this idea, he says, concerning this anointing. But the thing that I've seen taking place since that time is the spirit of seeing knowing's operating through me like crazy. I mean, it is just amazing. As I said, like on Friday, I told them last night, God was awful chatty on Friday. Man, he talked all day. Dear God. Friday didn't do a whole lot of praying that day. I was doing some other things. And some days you just do that. You got to get certain things done. And then other days you can work praying and spending time. And I always spend some time. But I tell you, God just wouldn't let me alone all day. Everything I did, he wanted to talk to me about things. He just... And it's like, you know, you get over there and it's like, I haven't done any spiritual, real great spiritual thing this morning that he's doing this. This is his doing. But it's dealing with the area with the anointing. It's the same thing as Kenneth Hagin had told us about. He said during the healing revivals, he said it seemed as if there was healing in the air. He said almost anybody could have a healing ministry. Almost anybody. And see, most of us sitting here don't know that kind of thing. I've been in a revival already that was like that. I've been in a revival. I was down in Peru in a revival, and it was so supernatural. Every night I went back to the hotel, and I laid in the bed, and I said, God, is this all a dream, and I'm going to wake up in the morning, and I'm going to find out? I was in la-la land. I came to this conclusion. I can't be that great of a preacher, because if it was me preaching did what it did, this would be happening someplace else. This is a move of God. It was so supernatural, the stuff was going on. It was like the stuff that people have talked about in the last days would happen. We literally had city buses in Lima, Peru stop on the streets while we were preaching, and the people made the bus driver stop, and they wanted to hear what we were saying. Now, I ain't never had no buses stop to listen to me say anything. This wasn't it. We had the most phenomenal thing. I mean, the things that happened. Cabs pulling over the coast. We were in a park. Buses parked around the park. We're walking on the buses, handing out Brother Hagin's little book on the new birth in Spanish. We're walking through. People are stopping. They wouldn't let the bus driver go until they found out what was going on. It's like, my God, see, this is we don't know very little about this supernatural. We want to be performers. I felt so little like a performer. It's just like in that atmosphere, you just knew things. You just know stuff. You just know things. It was the atmosphere. It was in the air. It was like in the air. It was amazing. I mean, it was just, I believe anybody could have went and preached and just it had happened. I don't even think, it's just like, you know, as I said concerning that, we went there. We were supposed to go to Arequipa, but big storms came along, washed the roads out, couldn't get in through the roads, and no airplanes could land in Arequipa because it was all socked in with the weather, and said planes couldn't land. So they kept us down in Lima and said, all your translators are in Arequipa. So they're looking for people to translate. And this literally happens. I'm not lying to you at all about this. They give me a guy who's a translator who can't understand what I'm saying. He's going to do the interpretation of what I'm speaking. And you know, I said, and I had enough sense to know this. God, if you don't know and can't fix this situation, this is your problem. What am I going to do with this thing? I ain't worrying a lick about it. So we went out to preach. Him and I can't even talk to each other. Last few words, and I mean, they're so minimal of what we know. And we're just talking to each other. So I go out in the street, start preaching, and he says to me, clearly,
I can understand everything you're saying. And you know what? Soon as we leave the streets and go back to the hotel, we couldn't talk to each other. We'd go out on the street. Let me just say this. There's people pushed into that is why we walked into it. I got a free ride. This ride ain't a free one. God's had me push and push and push and push. And you need to know, this revival is going to have to be pushed. Because it's going to take, because most of the church ain't into it. Most of the church world ain't into this thing. Most of the church don't even care. They're happy the way things are. They're doing their own things. But I want this thing. I desire this thing. I crave this thing. And we're walking in this thing. As one thing, as the Lord said, is this is transferable. He said, to those who are worthy. I just want to read, you know, some scriptures because of that, because I think we should, you know, we should take things and bring things into scriptural alignment. Just want to read you some scriptures here concerning faithfulness and the importance of it. And these are things that God loves you guys' faithfulness. He spoke to me about your faithfulness. You know, it's one of the things, you talk about walking by faith, you know, they ended up in a country they didn't even know they were going to go to. They just walked as far in the direction that they had sight to go. My God. And they surely didn't go when things were easy. There's some things I know from the standpoint. They didn't go with pockets full of money. They didn't go with a bunch of supporters. They went because it was in their heart to go. And they've touched a nation. And there's one thing we know wasn't. It wasn't by their wisdom. It wasn't by their bucks. God moved in them and touched a nation. That's what you need. See, a lot of people have gotten off from this stuff, and I'm even to the shame of Rhema, you know, and which I came from. I mean, they have now said, you know, your traveling minister shouldn't start off unless he has $20,000 in the bank and he has this or that and the other thing. And I thought, dear Lord, we'd have never started a church. And I knew that they were preaching this stuff because every time I would get a call, they would have them call pastors who have started churches and what they did to start a church. I never had one student who ever called me, as in from the pastoral group, who didn't first question us, where'd you get the money? And this is my answer every time. Just forget it and stay out of the ministry. Just forget it. If that's number one on the top, stay home. What did God tell you? That's number one on every list. What did God say? And you know what? Well, I'm called to pastor. Who cares? Were you sent to pastor? Till you're sent, it don't matter. It's are you sent? I had a call from the night I was born again, but didn't go in the ministry. You don't go on the basis of call. You go on the basis of send. That's why a lot of people fail. That's why, you know, what they say, what is it? 4 out of 5 ministers will quit within a certain few years, and that stuff will leave the ministry. Because they go on calls. They never wait on God to find out what God said. You know? I had God tell me and spoke to me. As Paul made this statement to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Faithfulness comes before sending. Faithfulness comes. Hallelujah. God found you guys faithful. You were faithful. They were faithful. See, I love to rub shoulders with people. See, you want the spirit of the faithful on you. Too many Christians hang with the unfaithful. There's one thing that I've always thanked God for is my parents, they weren't spirit-filled. They were out of a plain church. There's a lot of things they didn't know. But I'm going to tell you, when it came to God, those people were faithful. They were rocks. I am so thankful. I am so thankful. I was got to raised in that atmosphere of faithfulness. Somebody, they followed what they believed. It was one thing as my father. You could go by the sun rising and setting. My dad was going to live what he believed. And it was not going to change. Not nobody would ever change him on it. I'm so glad that I was around that type of spirit. Rather than raised in the much of the spirit today, which we call, you know, freedom. And there's no freedom in it at all. It's all flesh. It's all the, you know, we can come and go when we please. And whatever it is, you can go to church when you want to. Or if you don't want to, you can this and that and the other thing. And then they wonder why, you know. I've been confessing and I don't understand why it ain't working. Well, it ain't going to work, knucklehead. The confession preachers, are a bunch of idiots. There's more to it than just confession. There's a lifestyle goes with this thing. It's a way of living. Now, this is the Lord Jesus talking again. He's an authority. I'm with John G. Lake. If Jesus said something about it, there is not another voice to be heard on the subject. Jesus said it, Dad said it. John, I'm following you because it's proved out in your ministry. It worked. Jesus said in Luke 16, and starting verse 10, it said, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Faithful in least. Faithful in least. You're proven in what's least. If you think some things ain't important and you just let them go, you think it ain't important and you just let it go. Things you need to do. Said somebody you were going to do something, be somewhere, and then you don't show up. That might not seem nothing like to you, but God sure is watching. When you're unfaithful in the little things, he said, concerning this, and he who is unjust in what is least is also an unjust in what is much. This is one thing as I learn in ministry. I'm not interested in talent at all. The talented, I've had more trouble with talented people. But you know what? The faithful are wonderful. You can count on the faithful. The faithful are faithful. The talented lots of times are only faithful to themselves. Look at it. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? In other words, natural things, whether it's money or whatever it is. You haven't been faithful concerning these things. Jesus Christ said, who's going to give you the true riches? I can say this that I've learned because there's things. I'm an observer. I watch people and things over the years. I watch, you know, I mark things and say, you know, over time, we'll see how that turns out. I'll say, you know, this. I've learned from Brother Hagin. He would look at families and he'd say, I can tell you how the children are going to turn out. He said, you don't have to be a prophet. He said, you watch the people. You learn what they're doing. He said, and you mark it. And the children turn out exactly like. And I've done this over the years. I thought, you know, people who never get revelation, I can always tell you the ones that never get the true riches. The true riches are God revealing himself to you and the riches of walking in the things of the Spirit. If you don't show things right and you're not faithful concerning those, you're not faithful to God concerning money and things like that, don't expect to get revelation. There's people, and I've watched this. I've watched people who go to meetings, and they'll go to these meetings, and they'll go all the time to some place where a guy's teaching on finances, and they think because they put their money in, they're going to get some. And you know what? I found loads of these people are dumb as a stick. Loads of them never amount to anything because they're not. There's no faithfulness involved in this. They think because they put their money in some kind of thing, but God's watching their faithfulness. And they're not faithful about a lot of stuff. And so those people never really get a revelation. They come back after they've sat under all this good teaching. You know, the Holy Spirit gives you revelation. You don't figure it out. If he hasn't given it to you, you can't get it. You can't get it. It's not, the Bible ain't figured out. It's revealed. And too many people in the church world today, it's not that important. God is not going to give anybody the true riches who don't value it. This is the true riches. I'd rather have a word from God than $1 million. I'm not saying that is an exaggeration, because that word from God is eternal. It'll keep. The million won't. Revelation can always be used and walked in and lived in. Revelation from God can get you anything you need or desire. It can get it for you. I'd rather have that. Most people know it's, let's get the stuff. Let's have the stuff. And they grab the stuff. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you haven't been faithful in somebody else's ministry and what somebody else is doing, if you're not faithful on your job and to your employer, Jesus is talking. This is prosperity, folks. Prosperity is found in faithfulness. That's where it's at. It's found in faithfulness. God will give to somebody. One of the first things, when I first got born again, one of the first things the Lord taught me, because see, I was never faithful to nothing but me. I was faithful to Ed. First thing he began to teach me of faithfulness to my family. Number one, most people, you know, their first thing with God, they're trying to believe, get God, give me money, give me a car, give me this, give me that. I need this stuff. First thing God dealt with me on was my family. That's faithfulness. Why? Wanda didn't trust me. Why? I didn't cheat on her running around with other women, but I'll tell you, I wasn't a faithful husband. I didn't treat her like she was worth anything. I didn't treat her anything like that. You know, it was Ed first, just like most Christians are today. It's me first. When they pray for me first. Lord, don't you know I have problems? Say, yeah, and you will tomorrow too, and the next day, and the next day, and 10 years when you come back, you'll still be having your problems. It won't change. That's the way it works. But it's being faithful. And the next thing he started working me on was at work. Being faithful to the company, being faithful on my job, being faithful, doing. It was through that faithfulness. Then he taught me through the church, being faithful to the church, being faithful. And then in 1989, in April, in fact, it was right about the time that Jesus showed up in the car and Ed wanted to jump out of the car. That time, the Lord said to me, and I'll never forget, I was walking from SDC 1 going over to, at that time was Rooker Memorial. I don't know what they call it now. I don't know what it is. But I was walking down through there, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, when you leave here, he said, I'm going to put you in your own ministry. He said, you have been faithful with other people's ministries. Now I'm putting you into your own. Faithfulness is the place. See, we can pray for a lot of things and desire a lot of things. But it's the faithful. And you folks have been faithful. You haven't asked for enough. You've been faithful. God can trust you guys with stuff. God can trust you with things. Because you're faithful. You're faithful. It's like the Lord told me concerning finances. He spoke to me about back in 2014. He said, you don't receive in the level you give. And I was a little bit startled, you know. No preacher ever told me that. They always told me if you didn't have enough, it's because you hadn't given enough. That's the message of the, you know, money preaching. Now, you got to give me more if you want something. God said, no, you're not. And so he spoke to me about that. You're not receiving. And he said this to me. He said, I want you to have a lot of money, he said, because I can trust you with it. God can trust you guys with stuff. Go for more. Push for more concerning your praying and what you're after God. Push for more. You have not been going as far. You've proved yourself. You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. Step into it. The things that you need, you're stepping into. He'll provide for you. He's going to do for you. He longs to do it. He longs to do it. He longs to do it. He loves what you're doing. He talked a lot about it. He likes you guys, you know. He talked to me enough about it. He likes you. You're not the favorite I am, but you're... Rod McLean used to say that all the time. He said, I'm God's favorite son. He used to do that all the time. I loved it. Rod used to say that. But you do. And you know, it's one of those things. You guys have over time, is because in these last days, what you're stepping into, I don't know what all it is. The Lord, I don't know if the Lord's spoken to you about certain things, but there's some great things he got planned concerning to moving you guys into in these last days. Of ministry wise, and I think for many of us, it's going to be one of those things. As Brother Hagin prophesied before he left, he said, when he spoke, he was in the spirit. He said, "My." He said, "You can't even explain what it's like. You can't even tell what it's going to be like." He said, "The glory." And I know what he's talking about. When I was down in Peru, you can't explain that. There's no rational reason that it took place. What was taking place was completely supernatural. You know, people talk about going out street witnessing and stuff. And three of us, we had our interpreter and me and another guy together. And the one guy that I was with, nobody else wanted to go, like, because he was sort of a... He was sort of a little bit of a strange dude and that stuff. He's a really nice guy, a little bit different. You know, people, I've always been this. I've always, and from the time I was a kid, I was always driven to the person that's different, you know. And I said to him and I will sleep together in road hotel, same room together. And I said, we'll minister together. And I'll tell you, we had a great time. We had an absolutely awesome time. I thought, you know, because sometimes you need somebody strange, different than you. Bring things out. But we were standing, we went to a marketplace, and I'll just never forget this. We came to the marketplace, and this is one of the main marketplaces in this certain section of town. It's a good-sized market. And we come walking down through it, and it's just one of these things. You're just walking along, mind your own business. You think, we're going down there, we're going to just start, you know, we'll hand out some of Brother Hagin's, you know, books and stuff, and then we'll just hand some of those out. People read them some, and we'll start preaching around to people, and we'll start doing something. And you're thinking about doing that, because you've been basically doing that. But I'm walking down through, and all of a sudden I think, no, don't go down and talk to anybody. I thought, what's this? So I just stopped and I said, you know, I said, we need to pray. I said, the Lord just said to me, don't get down there yet. And I said, so we need to pray. So I said, we just stood there and we're just praying in tongues. And I just always did what Brother Hagin said, watch and pray. And I just looking down, I'm there praying in tongues. I'm looking down at that place and looking down there. And this guy about this tall walks out between the buildings. And he walks out and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and said, go talk to that man. So I said, hold it, guys. We need to get out and talk to this guy. And we ran there. I didn't want him to get away. So we ran down through to where he was and got this guy. Found out he was sick. He had problems. This little dude. He was an older man. He's probably about late 40s, 50s. Laid hands on him. Hardly talked to him at all about Jesus. Laid hands on him. Got healed instantly. Got healed instantly. And everything just blew up from there. From that point on, we never made any initiation to talk to anybody or anything. People just started flowing to us. What did you tell him? What did you do to him? And it just started. And it just started. And people just kept coming. We spent the whole afternoon there preaching, leading people to Christ. All afternoon, people would just come and come. Now, that's weird. That ain't natural. There's nothing natural about that. This is reaching out in America. They give you these canned things you go say to people and you do to people. That's reaching out. Randall Greer said this. God told him this. A pastor asked him to come to his church and speak to the people that were on his witnessing team that would go out into the town, the city, and witness. And he said, they're having no luck at all. He said, really? He said, a lot of people have dropped off the teams. They're not getting anywhere. And he said, could you talk to them? And Randy said, you know, he said, I hate to turn a pastor down. He said, I would. But he said, I didn't know what to say to people. He said, what do you say? I don't know. So he said, then the following morning, he's supposed to talk to him. And he said, he asked the Lord, but he said, his heart wasn't really even in the thing. He wasn't. He said, finally in the morning, he said, he got up getting ready. And he said, Lord, what am I supposed to say to these people? What am I supposed to do? He said, what do I say to them about this and what they're doing? And he said, the Lord just didn't seem to be speaking to me about it. So he said, I got dressed and I had to go out the hotel to meet the pastor, go down. He said, the pastor was there to pick me up. And he said, I reached over to open the door on the hotel room, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord said, you tell them this. 90% prayer, 10% going, 100% success. That's exactly what the church don't do. They got 10% prayer, 90% going, and no success. I had said last night, and I'll just say this. You take anything that you say that you hate to do, you will always do that more than you'll pray. You'll always do more of it. Praying seems the hardest thing for people to do. Oh, I don't like doing this and I don't like doing that. But they'll go do it. Oh, you got to get it done. You got to do it. Pray? That's another thing. You might as well smile, folks. It's true anyhow. If there's anybody that don't battle with that, you've probably already died and went to heaven and we're just having to see a ghost sitting here or something. I don't know. It's the battle. The thing we need to do, we know we need to hook into, is a thing we struggle with. I will be honest with you. No matter how much time I spend in prayer, I will struggle. I think that's why God wakes me up early in the morning. It is a good thing. It's one of the things that you need to, there's things that you need to find out for yourselves. And you need to learn these things yourselves. Of finding out where you can and how you best hear from God. When you can get the quietest in your mind and everything else. Where your body can be. See, I know this. When I sleep, when I wake up in the morning, I am always, I'm just quiet in the morning. My mind's clear. I don't wake up just thinking about stuff. And my body is quiet. When I'm waking up, I sleep and I wake up from sleep, I'm more conscious of inside than I am outside. That's just the way I am. Some people, they go to bed with their minds going 100 miles an hour and they wake up, it's 100 miles an hour. I don't know. A lot of people, they talk about all these dreams they have and I'd say, well, if I have them, I basically don't remember most of it. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I have this. Many nights I go to sleep and when my spirit's active and all through my sleep hours, I know that there's stuff going on in me. Through my sleep hours, I get a sense of things going on and I wake up in the morning. I can tell you things that have been going on in my spirit overnight. This is why you do want to be good at sleeping at night. That's why God gives His beloved rest. You want to go there. You want to go to that place. It's where you rest. It's times of rest, that's a good time. Some people have different things. Mike, God lives in his shower. So you go to Mike's shower, you know what? That's a place Mike gets quiet. Just the water running over him and he's there and he ain't thinking about nothing else. But you got to find out, you know. You just need to go to the shower more. You know? You take a bucket, take a sprinkling can with you and walk around. But you got to find out. And it's one thing as I told the Lord, I said, you know, I gave him permission. I said, you can wake me up any of the time at night you want to. If you want to wake me up, I give you permission. Whatever you want to do is where you want me to, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You wake me up. And he's taken me up on that. Lots of times I wake up at nighttime. And that stuff. I'll go to sleep. I sleep for 2, 3, 4 hours, and God will wake me. And I get it like today. I mean, you know, you get 4 hours sleep, but I feel just absolutely fine. I mean, just it doesn't mean you just go every day only 4 hours sleep, but you give God permission to do things. We need to get over. But I've learned how to let the one that's in me, lives in me, quicken my mortal body so I can't walk around the rest of the day. I won't go to bed tonight any earlier than I'd go to bed any other night. And I won't go to bed because I'm worn out. Because there's one inside me who quickens me. If God don't quicken me, I can't do His work. If I have to only do it through the natural of what I can naturally do, He needs to hire another hand. He's got the wrong guy. It requires the supernatural to be in the supernatural ministry. Amen? And you need that in your life. You need that in your life too. It's the same thing. You know, you can't spend all day and all night filling yourself with what's in online and doing that kind of thing. You can't do those things. I find nobody spiritual who does that stuff.
Ain't nobody spiritual doing that stuff. I don't exist. You can't fill yourself all the time. You can't do it. You can't let that stuff dominate you. You can't let that stuff rule you. You've got to stay conscious on the inside. In fact, there's just too much garbage that comes across, too much stuff that you don't even need to see, know, or about, you know. You don't need to know what everybody else is doing and what they're doing. You don't need to know that. Most of them are lying to you anyhow. And Facebook, what is this? The percentage of people that lie about their stuff, their lies. I mean, it's phenomenal the amount of people lie. I forget, they said like 60% of people on Facebook lie about their vacations. 60%. I think that's low. Good 80% of Americans are liars. Let's get it true. They lie about their... They try to make their vacations seem like they're doing greater things than they are. You know? They don't go in front of a blue screen and take a picture of themselves and then put something behind it to make you think they went somewhere. I just can't imagine somebody that thinks they have to be in all the photos. Why would I want to mess up a beautiful scene with my face? And I don't want to see theirs either. Don't send me a picture of your face. I have this thing on the bottom of my screen. It's a little garbage can. They go there. Goodbye. I mean, think about it. People go anywhere. Every picture they send you, it's got their face, their mug in it. And it's like, my words, self-absorbed, self-centered, sick people. It's like, what on earth? And then try to get me to look at that thing. Dear Lord, I'll show them, I'll send them pictures of me. That'll teach them. See, we have a world and a lot's going on, but we have to find out, what do we want? What do we want out of this? I live in an age they call the information age, but the only information I'm really interested in is what God's saying. Because the rest of it ain't working. The rest of it's not working. But God, through the ages of my time walking on this earth, has proved his word time and time and time again. He has. He has. I don't know what God has in this, but let's all stand to our feet. But we want to pray for our brother and sister here, and there's something else I want to talk about. We're going to take an offering. We're going to talk about the offering and then talk about something else God wants to do concerning our brother and sister here. But I want to have you guys come up here, because God does wants to minister to you folks. And God's excited about you guys. He is excited about you guys. He has wonderful plans. He has wonderful, wonderful plans. He didn't tell me all the plans, but I could tell this. He's excited. He's excited. Well, it's number one, because you're moving on the, first of all, you guys are doing the right thing. You're moving first on the inside. You're listening on the inside, which just not make, even though you know there's changes, there's things, you're just not jumping on it. That's a wise thing. That's one thing, is I tell you, if anybody listened to Brother Hagin, you learned that from him. Hallelujah. Well, we got that same spirit, you know. You just don't jump and run, because God ain't nervous. Hallelujah. God's not nervous. He knows how to get things in line. He knows how to bring things into line. He has gotten across to you two of the changes, coming things. He's gotten you. So you're hearing from him. He shows you, you'll get it. You'll follow it. Don't get concerned about, am I picking it up? Or am I? Don't even go to that place. You're getting it. You know, he'll get you for what my God, he got you the whole way over there, didn't he? He got you over there and he got you to labor there. And you guys know, you plowed a hard field. Hallelujah. But you know what? This last move of God, it ain't going to be plowing like it was. It's not going to be what it was. It's not going to be like, we have done a lot of stuff in labor, but I'll tell you what, we're going to see a lot of what I saw in Peru. You're going to see a lot of that concerning ministry. Well, you ain't going to be plowing. You ain't going to be drudging alone.
working and wondering, man, are we getting anywhere on this thing? Are we going to? Hallelujah. But let me tell you what, you have great reward. You guys got great reward. Hallelujah. You got eternal reward. Glory to God. Don't get no better than that. People can pat you on the back and say, good job here. Great. But I tell you what, you get to heaven and somebody going to pat your back and say, good job. That's the one you want. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, he's excited. And I just want to pray for you guys. You know, reach your hands out and you pray for them. Because we greatest desire for them. I want these ones full of fire because they need the fire of God for the ministry of God. It's a necessity. It's not a nice side thing to have. It's a must in this day and time. And I'm going to tell you what, there's fire already landing in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're destined to the fire. You're destined to the fire because you're the faithful. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. These are your blessed children, the ones that you call and you set them apart, Lord God. Lord, you put your vision in their heart. No man did. You did. And Lord God, they followed after it. They went after it, Lord God, and walked in it. And they proved themselves, Lord God, not by their perfection, but by your perfection working in them. They have fulfilled many, many, many things. And Lord God, I want to thank you as you've spoken to me concerning the foundation that they laid. I thank you for that wonderful foundation that is unshakable. Lord God, that foundation will stay true till the end of the age. That foundation will hold and many will stand upon that foundation in these last days, Lord God. And your glory will be poured out on many because of the foundation that has been laid. And the glory will sweep across that land and nation, and much will be changed, Lord God, because the faithfulness of little will bring much, much, much glory and much honor. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you. Father, we release to them right now the fire of God. Lord God, the spirit of seeing and knowing operating in them in a measure beyond what they have walked and known in the past. Lord God, in these days and time, where ministry will be a place of the spirit that they will see and know and walk in, Lord God, a supernatural place where before it seemed to push in, but the pushing is gone. Lord God, because this is the day and the time of that glory, and it's working mightily in them. Mightily in them. Hallelujah. Lord God, the word will come forth in power like never before. Demonstration, manifestation, glory. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you. You've opened up doors for them. And you said, Lord God, to me, that you opened a door for them that men cannot shut. No man can shut it. And that door is open. Hallelujah. And I thank you that they'll go through that door. They'll walk in it. And Lord God, I thank you that nations will be changed. People will be changed. The word will go forth in glory. Hallelujah. And people will come into the kingdom of God by the hordes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, it's your work. You started this great work in them, and you will be the one who will bring it to completion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. Lord, we are so blessed. We're so blessed, Lord God, to have children, your children among us. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, that are just good examples to us. Hallelujah. Good examples, Lord God. I thank you. Lord God, it's so good to be on the same team. It's so good to have the same players on the field, Lord God. And Lord God, I thank you for putting the A team in. Hallelujah. The A team, Lord God. And Lord God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all that they've imparted to us. I believe more than is realized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More than is realized has been imparted. And I thank you. I thank you for that, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And to you folks,
they have been under, now it's one thing, they're not complainers and they're not gripers and moaners. You know, they don't tell you everything that happened, you know, and that kind of stuff. But they've been under pressure, and I know things financially and stuff. They've been having to travel back and forth because of the from Estonia here. You know, you don't get a 10-cent trip. You know, you don't get 50 cent on get on the bus and take a drive over and that stuff that's subsidized. They don't have those. They have to get on them planes, and they cost. And they've been coming back and forth, you know, because our dear sister here's her parents passed away, and so she's having to deal with her estate things and going back and forth and financially, I'll tell you what, I just want to really bless them. But the Lord spoke to me about this. Is number one, is understanding what we're doing. Is one thing is about, this is where in the areas with this, we read about the faithfulness with mammon. Is number one, is I learned a long time ago, is people that God were using, and especially when people were dealing with the things that God hooks me up with people. Is one thing that I found out, is God hooks me up with people, you want to take those people lots of times and you want to be financially good to them. That is part of faithful with the mammon stuff. And revelation comes. There's many people who are not faithful in the areas of mammon. And it's not, look, it doesn't matter how much anointing they have on, if they can't go, if they can't fulfill, they need to have as good a life as we live. We don't have to travel back and forth. They obeyed to go. It is within my obligation to bless. I am obligated to bless them. This isn't something this is just a nice thing I'm doing. No, I'm obligated. This is my brothers and sisters. I desire greatly that their ministry progress. If I want their ministry progress, I got to sow into others so they do. I will not progress unless I put into somebody else to help them progress. That's just good Bible preaching, folks. See, many people are, if I get something, then I'll do something. No, it don't work that way. You help somebody that's doing something, and you'll end up with something. And so, I want to, you know, I'm not a big pusher about money. But God's been pushing on me about this concerning them and helping them. But also, which we're going to take an offering to them, but the Lord spoke this to me, in fact, this morning when he woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He hadn't said this about this before. He said about our church supporting them. Now, the church is people. It's not just putting some people, the church will just do it. I don't have to really get involved in it. But the Lord said to do this. He told me to do this. And Wanda and I had talked about, because we had been talking about supporting them in the ministry. But the Lord said this. He said, now this is completely voluntary. I'm not pushing anybody to do it. This is completely voluntary. But the Lord said to give people an opportunity. See, given to me is a wonderful opportunity. I love to do it, so that's me. But he said, give people the opportunity to make a commitment. Now, it doesn't have to do this today. We're going to take an offering today for him. We're going to do that. But I want you to pray about this and take time to pray about it. You know, think about it. It's number one, don't make a commitment out of your emotion at the time. People who make commitments of emotion at the time usually quit doing it and hurt themselves. People who don't carry out their commitments hurt themselves by it. Is number one, you want your word to be good. If you make a commitment, and what we want to do, we want to make a monthly commitment. Mond and I are going to make a monthly commitment. We're going to do it through the church here. We're going to make a commitment to their ministry and give people an opportunity. You pray. See what's in your heart to do, you know? We're not forcing enough to tell anybody how much or whatever it is to give. It doesn't matter. You pray, but you make a commitment based on what's in your heart to do. And I will guarantee you this, when God has ever moved on me specifically and concerning giving to somebody, it's always blessed me. I've always gotten blessed. It always has done things. There's always good things have come to me when we start doing that. Wanda, I've learned that, and I learned it over time. We get a sense to do something. Good things always come to us. We get ourselves set to do that. And don't do it because, well, I need something, I got to do it. You got to do what you do from your heart. This is about faith. This ain't about a head thing. You know, if you want to get money out of your head, go ahead. I mean, they'll take it. They need it. But my great desire is this, is for your blessing too. Why don't we all get blessed instead of just one or two? Why don't we get blessed? In other words, I want you to give by faith so it's a blessing to you also.
It's not a one side. Too many people are giving money to preachers and they don't ever get blessed. God wants you blessed. Operating by faith. You're following something by faith. You do something by faith. And this is what we want to do is by faith. So, you know, you don't have to today, but it's, and, you know, we're not going to come chasing you around or anybody. And if you don't feel you're supposed to do it, that's, you just do whatever's in your heart. I'm going to follow. I'm just saying, God said I was supposed to give people an opportunity. So that's a thing to pray about of what you want to do. The board didn't know anything about I was going to say this. And they can scold me later. I don't care. I just, no, whatever. But I just really felt my heart. We're supposed to do this. And God's speaking to me about it this morning. He woke me up at 4 o'clock over it. So I might as well get it out there, right? So, but, I mean, think about what you can do or what you think. Or is if you don't feel that that's what you're supposed to do, that's just fine too. You got to walk what's in your heart. Not, you know, what's in mine. This is what's in my heart. God said just give people an opportunity. So we're going to set ourselves. And in doing that, we as a church could turn around and just give them money. But it is another thing when we personally get involved in our faith with it. Because, you know, lots of times people in the church in giving, they're personally, their faith isn't involved. They're just giving money to the church and the church is taking it. But when you're specifically involved in giving that money and you're specifically involved in doing it, it's just a good thing of your own faith. And I just think it's a wonderful thing to do and I like to do that. Hallelujah. So that's something they're going to do. So, you know, we're this week, you let me know, or next week, you just, you know, let us know. Maybe, you know, just take one of the offering envelopes and down there and, you know, and take one of those and write on maybe something there and put a notation on it, something that you would like to do and for that concerning finances. And we'll do the things of just receiving offerings. And what we'll do with that, not just have a special offering, you can put that money in at any time in the giving in a, you know, month. Like we, Mond and I, we do monthly. We set up with ministries with monthly giving. And we always, every year, we usually pick something else up along. And so there'll be one of them that is picked up to in the areas of giving is we'll do. And probably something else too. Whatever. Hallelujah. Just that's what we do. And you just give. And so it's something. We're not going to chase you around for the money and say, oh, you didn't see any money this week. Or this. It's up to you. It's about your commitment. It's not about ours. But we just want to be a blessing, a continued blessing to them financially to help them. That's what our desire is to do to them. Hallelujah. Think that's a good idea?
Yes, sir.
I do. I think it's a wonderful idea. Hallelujah. I count it a great privilege to sow. Into it. I do. I count it a great, great privilege to be able to sow into a ministry, especially when God thinks so highly of them. If God thinks as highly of them as he talked to me about, it'd be a good idea to want to help them. Hallelujah. So that's just something that we're going to do. So we'll let you folks sit down, and we're going to take an offering for these folks. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing it is that we get to do is to take this offering. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it is a great honor. You know, because even and it's like today, I mean, think about it. When they come here, I mean, they fly in, they pay the money to come in. It costs them. They drive, they can rent cars, drive here, you know. Did you ever drive the turnpike? Now, I know they have. You know, I have one of those easy pass things. That saves a lot of money. But they don't have easy pass. You know, they don't live here have easy pass. And I'll tell you what, the turnpike is ridiculous. It is absolutely absurd. Pennsylvania ought to be ashamed of themselves. Our Republicans ought to be the most ashamedful people of what they've done in raising the things and stuff. You know, my God. You know, it just... To drive on a road. Dear Lord. I almost thought we were in Russia for a while. I didn't. But it is. There's a lot of money involved in this. They travel and they do these things. And so, but we want to be a great blessing to them. Hallelujah. And we want to go exceedingly abundantly above what we, like God, what we can imagine or think. Amen. Does anybody need an envelope at all for your giving? Does anybody need one? An envelope for giving at all? If you're giving cash, you want a receipt, do that. If you You make a check, and Living Word Ministries, everything will go to them. Hallelujah. We do that. We do that. Hallelujah. Now that thing, you know, we say that thing here, but you need to know all ministries don't do that. Ministries take offerings from people who don't always give all the offering. Oh, they say they do. But if you ever find one that does it, never put anything in the offering. If you want to give something to somebody, go give it to them. But there are ones that do that. Hallelujah. Not here. We don't do that. It's one thing is I don't know. I'm a man of my word. If somebody put a check, somebody put a check in for $1 million a day, they'd get the $1 million. I don't care if I was in debt up to my neck. I'll tell you what, I'd rather die poor than cheat, lie, and steal. Because the last time I read the Bible, all liars end up in the lake of fire. It ain't worth it. Hallelujah! We ain't liars, but one thing we're supposed to be is cheerful givers. Now's the time to be happy. Hallelujah! We get to give. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's more blessed to give than receive. Do you believe that?
Yes.
More blessed to give and receive. Notify your face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you today for the richness of your love and grace and mercy to us. Father, it's been a great privilege to be with the Cossacks. It's a great privilege, Lord God, Father God, to be around people, Lord God, that are precious in your sight. Lord God, that we can join together. And Father, what an honor it is to be able to give to them and to bless them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. So we thank you today as we sow, Lord God. I sow with great joy. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to do this. I'm so glad, Lord God, that you spoke to me, Lord God, this morning about blessing them on a monthly basis. I'm so glad, Lord God. I'm so glad that we as a ministry here can take part in your plans and your purposes for the success of their ministry, because, Lord God, they're part of the body of Christ. Their success is our success. Hallelujah. And we desire for them to have great success in what you've called them to do. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Did you have something you wanted to say? I can give you a microphone. Here we have a microphone. I'll give you, something. Now you might not get out here for a while, but you have Ken a microphone.
Yeah, I was shocked the last time how long it went. I was thinking that I was telling Pastor, you guys are so amazing with your connecting ability and power to hang on, because I did speak a long time. This time I'm not going to speak. I'm really touched. I'm really touched that I'm speaking for both of us. When Pastor mentioned that he had something that God spoke to him to have, to minister to us, I was really moved by that. It is an unusual thing to do. We've never had that happen like that. And you know, you travel a long way in. It takes a lot of guts to do that. But your pastor hears from God, and I right away connected with it, because I have a great deal of respect for him prophetically. So I figure if he's got this, I'm in. And I could always take the break anyways. And but this has really touched me. What Pastor has just mentioned, this really intensely, I don't know what to really say other than the fact that we're very, very blessed. And I think the timing of it all is phenomenal, because with so many things that are starting to change right now, we've felt like we've been living in between a pair of pliers, and it's been difficult. And so, all I can say right now is a huge thank you from Denny and I, and we will believe God. I know when Pastor shared the vision that he has for Lebanon, this is the type of powerful move that we are expecting in Estonia and that God wants to produce in many places on earth. Amen. Right now.
Amen.
And so when he's put Amen. Us together, we will literally join and connect our faith with what is happening here too. And we will, in our lifetimes, see a powerful move here. Much has been prophesied over the years. And I think a lot of people, they got so, they're thinking they're waiting on the Lord. The Lord's really been waiting on them. I think a lot of people have tired and they're looking for new ways to do it. But the new ways to do it is not the way of the flesh. It's the way of the Spirit, like Pastor is telling us today. There will be a powerful move of the Spirit. And as we get, like he mentioned also, aggressive with demanding and requiring, as if to say to the Lord, I'm not willing to live another decade without Amen. Your power starting to break Amen. Forth. And if we get Amen. Intense with this, I remember something Brother Hagin said in talking about the time leading up to the great healing revival of the 50s. He said in the 40s, he himself gave himself like intensely to prayer for a 3-year span, but he knew many, many people and churches and individuals in the churches, because again, it's not who's in the fivefold ministry. Even greater than anything we can discuss about the fivefold ministry is that you're a son or a daughter of the living God. And our identity is not how much we preach, how much we prophesy, whether we win the guy at the bus stop to the Lord or don't. We're a son and a daughter. And because of that, that's the highest status there is. That's higher than any governor, any senator, any president, any CEO, any anything. We're a son and a daughter. And we have a voice that God will listen to. And as we use that voice to speak blessing into our church, and into the church, but into the city, and require and desire, because God loves it. Think of how many times he says in the scriptures, plead, you know, he says, let them strengthen themselves so that they can come together to plead together with me and set forth your cause. He loves it. He loved it when Abraham negotiated for the destiny of Sodom. And he loves it when we will negotiate for the destiny of Lebanon, for Pennsylvania, for America, and for the nations. Europe right now is in huge need. And so to have your prayers connected with us is going to be instrumental in some things breaking out. And we will do our best. We've got a group of intercessors there too, and we will connect in. I just have to say, we just have to go for it. We just have to go for it. We're not getting any younger. But look at your neighbor and say, you're young enough. Ha ha! Listen, I mean, if Caleb, you know, at 85 says, I'm just as fit and ready to go to war as I was when I was 20. And God saw fit to actually record that in the scriptures. And his wife wasn't there to say, nah, Caleb. Caleb, you old son of a gun. No, no, no. There wasn't, I mean, it was real.
And he led the army.
And he led the army.
He led the army to take the land.
And just as, and even as a reminder, you have guys like Smith Wigglesworth. You have men like that working secularly for years and years and decades and decades and decades. And God ultimately just moves them away from pipes to people. But he hit his prime in his 60s and 70s and 80s. Nothing's too old. We're just getting started, baby. See, in the world, just when you get some brains about you, just when you get the smarts, They send you out to the pasture at 65 and give you a watch. No, they don't even do that. But in the kingdom of God, I mean, Moses got started at 80, and Caleb was ready at 85, and honestly, the best is still yet before us. And I want us to really, with a new aggression, go for it. But you guys have so inspired. I mean, this has so inspired us too, and it's been a great comfort just to know that you're with us. And thank you, Pastor Ed.
Thank you, brother.
Bless you, sir.
God bless you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I'm excited to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He comes. They come back again. I'll let him preach. If God lets him. I don't know. Oh, come on. No. When I get somebody, I tell you, well, just go. Keep on going. Put it out. Hallelujah. In other words, people sit through 2.5-hour, 3-hour movies. And 20 minutes of preaching, they puke. You know. Say, we got to make it comfortable for them. Hallelujah. So God bless you. Amen. And have a glorious week.